we're going to be thinking more about. It's a part of the Bible that we might not be very familiar with. It might not be one of the go-to passages that we read. It's a letter written by the Apostle John to a co-leader or a leader of a church, and his name is Gaius. And that church is somewhere in a region we might know today as Turkey. And the letter is written probably about 50 years after Jesus died and rose again, so late in the first century. So that gives you a little bit of a picture of where we're at. So let's pray as we ask for God's help. Father God, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you so much that we could get the display working this morning as well to help us as we gather together. But Lord, as we reflect on your word now, please guide us and equip us and inspire us by your Spirit that we might understand and apply it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the first things that John says to Gaius is, he says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." So the question is, why does John think or know that Gaius's soul is getting along well? Well, here's a little test for you. There's a word that's repeated twice in the first part of the letter. If you got your Bibles open, you'll see it's actually referred to three times in the first paragraph. I don't know if you have spotted it. A word that's repeated a couple of times, two or three times. He's calling him friend. There's something that's very important to John, and he says this. Truth. That's right. Yeah, like reading from the Bible, it says, "I was joyed when the friends testified to your faithfulness to the truth, namely how you walk in the truth. I've got no greater joy than this than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So mentioned perhaps even four or more times in the letter. And it's such an important thing for us as well. We're bombarded by fake things in our lives, no less the scams that arrive by text or in our inbox. And we have got to train our children as well that not everything that they read on the internet is true. Truth and lies surround us everywhere, and we have this job trying to sift out what's true and what's fake. And it all depends on what we're following. We might have thought this is a new problem of our age, but it's not. And this idea of truth features so strongly in the letter that we see that the problem is not new. So as we think about truth, I've got three little ideas to help us navigate through this letter. And if you want to, you can write them down. The first is walking in the truth. The second one is working for the truth. And lastly, wandering from the truth. So walking in the truth, working for the truth, and wandering from the truth. So Gaius, according to these friends and according to John, is walking in the truth. And that's why it's well with his soul. That's why John's so excited. The question is, what is this truth that's being spoken about? It's more important than the daily news or even some gossip. It's something that would make a person very excited. And it's the truth about Jesus. It's the truth about what Jesus achieved in his death and resurrection. It's the most momentous, glorious news that's ever been declared in the history of the whole world. It's the truth that'll bring us life if we believe it. And it's the truth that will leave us in destruction if we ignore it. And that's why John is so excited that Gaius is walking in the truth. That's why John is so confident that it is well with his soul. Now, that truth about Jesus doesn't just arrive in a thought bubble. It comes in a package. And that package is the whole body of truth that's handed down to Gaius by the apostles. It's the set of truths that come down to us in the Bible. It's the truth about everything that God has revealed and how God wants us to live. And Gaius is walking in that truth. And so walking in the truth means sustaining one's trust in Jesus, in the sufficiency and the effectiveness of what he did for us, trusting Jesus that what he did was enough. And it also means living in a way that corresponds to what God wants. So Gaius is walking in that truth. And John is excited and he's joyful. So Brittany, that I referred to earlier, she's also excited about somebody walking in the truth. Apart from that research that she does in the disease that's transmitted from camels to people, she disciples one or two people. And she's been discipling a young lady called Jasmine. And Jasmine is a very new convert from Islam. So they meet up together regularly, they pray. And this is a precious gift to both of them, but it's a precious encouragement to Brittany, because it's really hard in that environment, in that culture, to really turn away from something that you've grown up with and been taught with and say, I believe in Jesus. And then despite all the pressure, you keep trusting him and you're growing in that knowledge. And that's what Brit sees in Jasmine, and she writes about Jasmine, and she asks for prayer for Jasmine. She's asking for prayer for Jasmine's husband to be converted. And you can have all of that encouragement if you sign up for Brittany's newsletter. But Brittany has great joy because Jasmine is walking in the truth. Jasmine is keeping her trust in Jesus strong despite the pressures. And Jasmine is learning how to follow Jesus. And walking in the truth means exactly the same for us. And praise God, you have somebody who's been teaching you. You've got leaders that have been teaching you the truth for such a long time, and you're getting a new rector here, and that's amazing. Praise God for that. So that's the first idea in this letter, that Gaius is walking in the truth. And we need to continue to walk in the truth. Secondly, the second section is verse 5 to verse 8. And this is about working for the truth. Verse 5 to 8. I'll read it again. Beloved, you do faithfully what you do for these friends. Let me read it from this pew leaflet. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. Working for the truth. So certain brothers have been visiting Gaius. What's going on here? Why did they visit? Are they tourists? No, we're told that it was for the sake of the name that they went out. What is the name? Well, it's the name we've been thinking about. It's Jesus. And they're not tourists. Going out for the sake of the name means they are going out because Jesus told them to. They are going out to encourage people to trust in Jesus. They're going out to encourage churches to keep trusting Jesus and to learn more about what it follows him. They've actually been sent by the apostles, and we'll think about that a little bit later. And they've come to Gaius's town. They've come to this little local congregation. They've come to teach and to encourage. They are working for the truth. So Gaius has hosted them. We don't know exactly what he did, but he's at least given them a place to stay. But I'm sure he's done a whole lot more. He's washed their clothes. He's given them food. He's prayed for them. He's supplied their needs. He's taken them in front of the church. He's endorsed them to the church. And in addition, verse 6, he sent them on their way in a manner worthy of God. He's helped them get to their next destination. Maybe he's escorted them part of the way. He's provided them heaps of resources in a sacrificial way to in order to help them get to their next city where they can encourage more so that they won't be hungry on the way. And Paul says, it's right. John says, we ought therefore to help such people so that we may work together for the truth. So Gaius, so he's doing ministry in his local patch. He's working together with them. When you help somebody who's doing ministry, you are working with them. Your work is just as important as their work. And Gaius hasn't just helped them in any old light-hearted way, but he's done it in a manner worthy of God. I've got a counter example. I've heard that in the past, this wasn't my experience, I was very generously provided for when I was serving as a CMS missionary. But in the past, missionaries might receive old second-hand clothes they'd receive these clothes as gifts, and they'd received old broken toys for their kids, and they'd receive boxes of tea bags with the label only used once. So those are examples of maybe people that have not been quite sent in a manner worthy of God. But this is not what Gaius has done. He sent them on in a manner worthy of God. And at CMS, we do seek to send our missionaries, like Brittany, in a manner worthy of God. And that's why part of my role as the executive director is to encourage you not only to pray for Brittany, but to consider maybe you can provide even a little bit, like a regular gift towards her. Because CMS doesn't raise enough from church giving for our missionaries. We do need individuals to contribute regularly for them so that they have all their ministry needs provided for and so that they don't have to go scrounging around worrying about, will my rent be paid for next month? Will I have enough for food? And therefore, if we are helping Brittany, if we're praying for her, we are working together with her for the truth. We won't have the opportunity to go to those Bedouin people and look, help them not to kiss their camels and things like that. Brittany's so good with her languages. She speaks Arabic fluently. That's beyond most of us. But we can work together with her, working for the truth. So our first setting was walking in the truth, then working for the truth. And Gaius loves Jesus. He's walked in the truth. He's working for the truth. My final point comes from the last section, going up to verse 12. I'll read it. I've written something to the church. This is from verse 9. But Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends and even prevents those who do so and expels them from the church. Brothers, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil is not seen God. Therefore, everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. We also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. So we've met Gaius, but who's Diotrephes, and what is he doing? We're told he puts himself first, and he doesn't acknowledge our authority. So who's the our? John is writing the letter, and he's one of the band of apostles. So Diotrephes is rejecting the apostolic authority, the teaching that the apostles give. And how's he doing that? Well, he's not welcoming these friends or these brothers that are visiting. And he's making it really hard for anybody that wants to help them. And by rejecting these brothers, Diotrephes is rejecting the authority of the apostles. He's rejecting the truth. He is wandering from the truth. Back to Brittany. In her ministry, there are that's a place where there's a significant religious majority. They believe in God. They believe in one God. But guess what? They reject the Bible. That means they reject the authority of the apostles, and that means they reject the truth. And that means it's hard for people who want to follow the truth, who want to start believing the Bible, who want to start trusting Jesus. So that's no surprise. It's no surprise that people like Jasmine have a tough time. And the persecution of Christians is not new. And it's really shocking and confrontational if you look into it and find out how much persecution is going on in the world. But what's really interesting here is that Diotrephes is a church leader. He's heard the truth previously. Ostensibly, he's become a Christian. He's become a leader. But now he's wandering from the truth, and he's being an influential person in this truth. He's causing other people to wander from the truth by rejecting the teaching that's coming through these brothers. And he's making it hard for anyone that wants to help them. This persecution is happening inside the church. Why is he doing this? We don't know, of course, but there could be many reasons. It could be financial reasons. It could be because there's so much persecution outside the church, and he doesn't want to be persecuted for upholding the truth that the apostles are sending. Maybe he just doesn't want to lose his authority that he has in the local session, the local congregation, because that truth is actually a derivative truth. It comes from the apostles, which comes from Jesus. So Diotrephes looks religious, and his teaching might be very similar to truthful teaching, but his teaching is wrong. And the fact that he exists then, way back in the earliest history of the church, means that we shouldn't be surprised when similar leaders exist today in the church. And they can be very persuasive and very winsome. So don't be surprised when there's persecution not only outside of the church, but also inside of the church. So John says, do not imitate what is evil. Don't reject people that carry this apostolic teaching to you in the form of the Bible. And he affirms Demetrius. He says, Demetrius is spoken at verse 12. Everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. I wondered what that means. I think it's this. I think in order to discern that people like Demetrius are following the truth, then congregational leaders need to know the truth. Once we know the Word of God and the teaching of the apostles, we can easily see what is right and what is wrong. So it's really important that we ground ourselves in the Bible, that coming to church like you're doing is such an important non-negotiable part of your week. And when there are Bible studies, I encourage you to join those Bible studies. And also, if you're not doing it, to get into the habit of reading the Bible every day. So that's so that we can discern what is right, discern what is wrong, discern who are true leaders, discern who are false leaders, so that we ourselves will not wander from the truth. So in today's world, there are so many truths out there. Sometimes it's hard to discern truth from error. But the truth from God is clear, it's certain, it's noble. It's the truth about Jesus, and it comes to us in the Bible from the apostles. So may we continue to walk in the truth. May we all work together for the truth. And may we not wander from the truth. God bless you.